Jesus love is very wonderful. Jesus love is very wonderful. Jesus love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high I can't get over it. So low I can't get under it. So wide can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello again, and welcome to another Holy Half Hour programme here on 3TFM, your local radio station. I'm the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church, and your host for the next 30 minutes of profound patter and some mood music. Being a minister sometimes helps me in this job, as is the case tonight, because the theme is sin. How do you fancy a night of sin? My congregation says that I'm an expert in the subject. They told me that they hardly knew anything about sin until I arrived. And now that I have taught them all about it, they still know nothing about it. To be fair on myself, I think everyone knows that sin didn't start with me. It goes back a long, long way, back to the very first person who ever lived, and his wife, of course. I mean Adam and Eve. Did you know that the Bible, Book of Genesis, was written in the Hebrew language? And in Hebrew, Adam means every man, and Eve means womankind. So Adam and Eve represent all human beings, which includes me and, of course, yourself. Uh-oh.
Unashamed and naked in a garden that has never seen the rain. Rulers of a kingdom full of joy, never marred by any pain. Morning all around them seems to celebrate the life they've just begun. And in the majesty of innocence, the king and queen come walking in the sun. But the master of deception now begins with his dissection of the word. With all his craft and subtlety, the serpent twists the simple truth they've heard. While hanging in the balance is a world that has been placed at their command. And all their unborn children die as both of them bow down to Satan's hand. And just before the evening, in the cool of the day, they hear the voice of God as he is walking. But they can't abide his presence now, so they try to hide away. But still they hear the sound as he is calling. Adam, Adam, where are you? Adam, Adam, where are you? Adam, Adam, where are you? Though the curse has long been broken, Adam's sons are still the prisoners of their fears. Rushing helter-skelter to destruction with their fingers in their ears. While the Father's voice is calling with an urgency I've never heard before. Won't you come in from the darkness now, before it's time to finally close the door? Adam, Adam, where are you? Adam, Adam, where are you? Adam, Adam, I love you.
Every newborn baby, every Adam or Eve, is so innocent looking. And yet, all too soon, they can be overheard saying things like the little girl who prayed, "Dear God, I've goofed again." We all know that feeling. Even St. Paul knew the feeling. He confesses in the book of Romans, "The good that I would do, I do not. And the evil I would not do, I do do, again and again. Who will save me from myself?" And we all hear ourselves saying from time to time, "Me and my big mouth, I've put my foot in it again. Why do I do these things?" This is the basic human predicament. We sin. It has always been so. 3,000 years ago, King David fancied Bathsheba, but she was married. So he devised a cunning plan. He put her husband in the front line of the next battle, hoping he would get killed and he could marry the widow. And his plan worked. Only problem was, he was left with a huge guilt complex. And he writes in Psalm 51, "Be merciful to me, O God. Because of your great mercy, wipe away my sins. Wash away all my evil and make me clean from my sin. I recognize my faults. I'm always conscious of my sins. I have sinned against you. You are justified in condemning me. Remove my sin and I will be clean. Wash me and I'll be whiter than snow." David went hallelujah when his cunning plan worked. He went hallelujah when he had sex with the beautiful Bathsheba. But his guilt complex made it a cold hallelujah. This is the story behind Leonard Cohen's famous but mysterious song, Hallelujah.
Now I've heard there was a secret chord that David played and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do you? Like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift, the baffled king composing hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
The basic human problem is sin. We are broken individuals, we are divided from others, and we are estranged from our God. Why does Humpty Numpty fall? Because Humpty Dumpty's a numpty. Jesus said we are prodigal sons who wander off into the far country. Isaiah 53 in the Old Testament, all of us were like sheep that were lost, each of us going his own way. 1 John chapter 1 in the New Testament, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and there's no truth in us. In other words, we tell lies. If we say that we have not sinned, we make God out to be a liar. I remember early in my career as a minister, after about only 6 weeks, finding myself up a dark close on a winter's night, in a house for the very first time, speaking to a woman I'd never met before, telling me all her troubles. Then she interrupted herself to suddenly ask me, "Mr. Noble, some people say I live in sin. What is the sin in living in sin?" And I prayed, "Help God." Not long afterwards, three lovely, well-behaved teenage girls surprised me by saying, "What is bad about bad? We're always being nagged by parents and teachers to be good and not be bad, but no one can answer us when we ask, what is wrong with wrong, and why is good good or bad bad? So what is sin?" Karl Barth, the famous man of theology, shed some light on it for us. He says that sin, by definition, is bad, but even then there are some badnesses that we have almost a sneaking admiration for, perhaps because of their boldness, like the guys who stole the television from my dad while he was still watching it. It was in the YMCA in Glasgow. Several people were watching. Workmen came in overalls, switched it off, put it on a trolley and wheeled it away for repair. Too late, they realised it had not been broken. Someone stole a 23-foot inflatable carrot from a gala day without anyone noticing. But sin is still sin, even so. Karl Barth has a good word for sin. He calls it sloth. And he explains that sloth is unheroic, trivial, pathetic. A lack of trust in and love for God and others. A turning our back on God like a curled-up hedgehog. And a wallowing in the shadows. Sin boils down to selfish, disobedient, self-willed, my will be done, leading to eye strain. The heart of the word sin is the letter I. One of the worst things about sin is the fact that we can get so crazy and mixed up with it that we come to love it at the very same time as hating it, like moths simultaneously attracted and repelled by a candle flame, which will in the end burn us. Katie Melua articulates this so beautifully in this song.
How can I think I'm standing strong, yet feel the air beneath my feet? How can happiness feel so wrong? How can misery feel so sweet? Feel so wild. closest thing to crazy I have ever been. Feeling 22, acting 17.
Carol Barth identifies four ingredients in the stew which we call sin. Let's look at them in turn. First, he says, stupidity is sin. Now, that may surprise us. We tend to think of stupidity as trivial, not as bad as really wicked and willful hurting of other people. But think of the damage that stupidity can do. And there's no excuse for it. We should be wiser by now. Stupidity includes red tape, bureaucracy, political correctness, cowboy tradesmen, drugging ourselves, polluting our own planet, cutting off the branch in which we're sitting. Family feuds are stupid, cutting off our own nose to spite our own face. That's stupid. Hurting the one you love is stupid. And the supreme stupidity is crucifying Jesus for claiming to be God, hating the embodiment of love, judging the judge of all the earth. The fool says there's no God. The fool says, let's eat, drink, and be merry. The fool says, tomorrow will always come. The fool says, I do not need God, the Bible, church, other people. A woman said to me, I'm lonely. I said, would you like a friend? No. Stupid people think they are cleverer than others, and even God. And if their folly is exposed, they will swear black is white and white black. Judas, Caiaphas, Herod, Pilate, the Pharisees, and the crowd all thought that they were clever, and Jesus was stupid. All we can do is pray here with Catherine Jenkins that God will forgive us.
Include the sin aright
Sin also involves inhumanity. We often hear the phrase man's inhumanity to man. God made us to be like himself, happy, outgoing, full of life, refined, sensitive, gregarious, loving, cooperating with others. Sin makes us shrink within ourselves, hide from others, forsake God, lose our appetite for life. Sin causes us to be passively cut off from others, or even worse, sin causes us to actively hurt our neighbours and loved ones. Man's inhumanity to man is infectious, producing tit-for-tat spirals of violence. Inhumanity also often disguises itself, for example, loving everyone in general to avoid loving one person in particular, or being busy doing good deeds, looking philanthropic, while doing it for less than admirable motives. Even the church, in its churchianity, can be very lacking in Christianity and humanity, and we can give to charity without being very charitable or loving. Our inhumanity can even crucify Jesus on the grounds of defending the faith, as the Pharisees did. All we can say is sorry, as Tracy Chapman suggests.
Sorry. Forgive me.
So sin has elements of stupidity, inhumanity, and also dissipation. Think of a leaf opening up in the spring into the full bloom in summer, and then curling up and withering and falling in autumn. People are like that. Are you blossoming, full of life, or are you withering and dying? Dissipation is wasting away, vegetating, burying talents, having a low appetite for life. Can't be bothered, letting yourself go. When we press the self-destruct button, giving up on yourself and on others. Dissipation is when couples stop working at their relationship, when parents let children run wild, when society is indisciplined, when everyone is looking for the easy life, quick fixes, escapisms. The opposite of dissipation is John Denver singing here like a newborn baby who wants to live and grow, to see and to know everything. Way to go.
There are children raised in sorrow on a scorched and barren plain. There are children raised beneath the golden sun. There are children of the water, children of the sand, and they cry out through the universe, their voices raised as one. I want to live, I want to grow, I want to see, I want to know, I want to share what I can give, I want to be, I want to live. Have you gazed out on the ocean, seen the breaching of a whale? Have you watched the dolphins frolic in the foam? Have you heard the song the humpback hears 500 miles away, telling tales of ancient history, of passages and home? I wanna live, I wanna grow, I wanna see, I wanna know, I wanna share what I can give, I wanna be, I wanna live. For the worker and the warrior, the lover and the liar, for the native and the wanderer in kind, for the maker and the user, and the mother and her son. I am looking for my family, and all of you are mine. We are standing all together, face to face and arm in arm. We are standing on the threshold of a dream. No more hunger, no more killing, no more wasting life away. It is simply an idea, and I know its time has come. I wanna live, I wanna grow, I wanna see, I wanna know, I wanna share what I can give, I wanna be, I wanna live, I wanna grow, I wanna see, I wanna know, I wanna share what I can give, I wanna be, I wanna
Sin is made up of stupidity, inhumanity, dissipation, and also, finally, anxiety. Surely not. Worry is not a culpable sin. We should have sympathy for worriers and the cross they have to bear. Well, worry does crucify us, but there's no need for it. Jesus said, "Fear not, I am with you. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take one day at a time. Consider the lilies of the field and the birds of the air. They don't worry, but they are looked after." He invites us to bring our worries to him in prayer. What a friend we have in Jesus. So if we do not come to Jesus, it's a slap in the face to him. If we bring our troubles to him in prayer, but then take them back again, it is also distrusting and rejecting him. And anxiety is infectious too. Worriers spread their worry. Paranoid folk get paralysed themselves and paralyse others, dampening their spirits. Worriers can be hyperactive and agitate everybody around them, frustrating spirits. Such anxiety really is a sin. Anyway, our half hour of sin is up. Don't be stupid, inhuman, dissipated, or anxious. But even when you are guilty as charged, always remember Jesus loves you, even as you are. He has no illusions about us, and yet he still loves us. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now there is good news to end with, as is this song by Don Francisco, speaking for God to all prodigal sons and daughters everywhere. Bye for now.
I loved you long before the time your eyes first saw the day. And everything I've done has been to help you on the way. But you took all that you wanted, then at last you took your leave, and traded off a kingdom for the lies that you've believed. And although you've chosen darkness with its miseries and fears, although you've gone so far from me and wasted all these years, even though my name's been spattered by the mire in which you lie, I take you back this instant if you turn to me and cry. I don't care where you've been sleeping, I don't care who's made your bed, I already gave my life to set you free. There's no sin you could imagine that is stronger than my love. It's all yours if you'll come home again to me. And when you've come back to your senses, and you see who's been to blame, remember all the good things that were yours with just my name. And then don't waste another thought before you change the way you're bound. I'll be running out to meet you if you'll only turn around. Just turn around. I don't care where you've been sleeping, I don't care who's made your bed, I already gave my life to set you free. There's no sin you could imagine that is stronger than my love. It's all yours if you'll come home again. I don't care where you've been sleeping, I don't care who's made your bed, I already gave my life to set you free. There's no sin.